Good evening.
Good evening.
Excuse me. This month is the start of a new, and the start of a new, what I call little series we're going to do each month. And this month we're going to talk about the alpha state of mind. But before we talk about the alpha state of mind, last week was questions and answers. And some people do not like questions and answers, but apparently last week everyone seemed to like questions and answers and learning something from questions and answers. So we will continue that. But the reason why I bring up the question and answer thing is this. When I was a young child, I grew up in the Lutheran church. And I had questions. And I would ask the minister at the time, what does this mean? What does that mean? And he would say, oh, well, when you're older, you'll understand that. Well, I kept getting older and I still didn't understand it. And every time I'd ask a question, I was always put off because they would not give you an answer to a question. So what I want to tell you is, this is not that type of a church and it's not that type of a teaching. If you have a question, I will always try to answer that question for you. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know the answer. But I will go and find the answer for you. And last week, a young lady that was over here asked a question about facts or something that she swore was in the mental equivalent. Well, I knew right away that it was not in the mental equivalent. So this week, I went and reread the mental equivalent for the umpteenth hundredth time. And the word fact is not even in there. You cannot find. So, and she's not here. When she comes, we'll ask her about that. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm trying to tell you is, if I can't give it a satisfying answer, I go home and try to find that answer for you. I just don't drop these things. Your questions are very important. This class is very important, and you people are very important to me. So I will never put you off and say I can't find the answer. In this teaching, the answer is always there. I may not know it at the time. I may have to do some research. You see, what I want you to understand is that this teaching called Science of the Mind, or religious science, whatever you want to call it, or if you want to call it a metaphysical teaching, which it is, you may do that. But it is not a mystery religion. It is not a mystery religion. The Lutheran Church didn't answer those questions because it's a mystery religion. They cannot answer those questions. You have to take it at face value. You have to take it with your faith. And they will tell you, well, it's a mystery. And you have to accept that mystery. So this teaching believes in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. Very little that's been said about him. Did he walk on water? Who cares? Who cares? You're saying, a mystery religion, you have to accept the fact that he was able to walk on water. You can go through this metaphysics without accepting that. But if you learn, and tonight we're going over these, because this teaching is here to make you successful in life. To make you successful in your life, you're saying. So don't make a big mystery out of it. And give up that idea. You see, it's called religious science. The word science implies immediately that whatever we do has to be able to be proved. You see. Anything in science has to be proved. So when I tell you that there's a law of cause and effect out there, I can prove that. It's not just a nebulous thing that you have to say, oh, okay, I'll just accept that it's a mystery. No. This is not a mystery religion. It is not a mystery teaching. This teaching is based on intelligence. It requires you to use your mind, to use your thinking, and not just swallow things, because it's the doctrine of that church or that establishment. If I cannot prove this teaching, then this teaching is worthless. And if you can't prove it, it's worthless. So once again, it is not a mystery religion, and it's always going to be completely God-oriented. Always completely God-oriented. But it is metaphysical, and there are no doctrines. There are no traditions. You see, what we are trying to do is use our minds correctly, to be able to think correctly, and to be able to take that part of our mind, which we call the subconscious mind, which is actually the soul, and connect that with what is called the superconscious mind, which is the mind of God, which is the mind that we all use, and it's the mind that we all live, move, and have our being in. And once you're able to connect your subconscious mind with superconscious mind, you are able to see the divine pattern. And the divine pattern is always good. It's always perfection. It always sees something whole, complete, and perfect. And when you are able to do that, you have connected with what's called the mind of God or super consciousness. Now, back again a moment to the idea, since this month we're going to be talking about the alpha state of mind. And I'm going to do practical exercises so that you can see that alpha state of mind. Now, this master teacher, Jesus, said, the kingdom of heaven is within. It's within your thinking. It's within your mind. But not in the conscious mind that you walk around in all day long, because that's the carnal mind. And it sees with appearances. And it judges with appearances. And any time you're using that part of your mind and you're judging, you're not going to be able to find heaven. But when you slow your mind down and are able to slip into the alpha state, go to your subconscious mind, you will find that peace that you're looking for. You will find what you want. Now, the important thing about dropping down into the subconscious mind is the whole idea that the subconscious mind is your servant. Remember, I told you always to think of yourself as a very wealthy people, because you came here to this plane of action with a servant. And you're never using that servant because you think you're poor. Now, poor people do not have servants. So if you know you have a servant, right away you have to say, well, I must be wealthy because I have a servant. Then you have to realize that that servant is this subconscious part of your mind that you can use. So when you get your subconscious mind to accept that you are what? Whole, complete, and perfect. That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, that connects with the superconscious mind. You see, because the superconscious mind, the mind of God, already knows those things about you. You must know them about yourself. So you start a pattern in your own subconscious mind that matches the pattern that God already has. So it's a template. The template is already made in the mind of God. Now you make a template in your mind and they mesh together, you see. You will never get anywhere in life and find the peace which passes all understanding using the conscious mind, because the conscious mind is connected to race mind, and race mind never teaches peace. It teaches confusion. It teaches competition. It never teaches success. It always teaches failure. So when you realize that, so you'll be able to see during the month what part of your mind you're using and how to use the subconscious mind or that alpha state of mind to bring peace into your life, to bring this thing you call heaven into your life, and to be able to use this thing you call your servant, subconscious mind. Because anything that you put into your subconscious mind, it accepts.
You see, your subconscious mind never says, oh, I don't think you want that. You know, people run around. I was with a woman this morning in my yoga class. All she kept saying was, oh, I'm so tired, oh, I'm so tired. I said, well, just keep saying, I didn't say it to her, I said it to myself. Just keep saying that, because that's what you're going to be. You see, if you're feeling tired, that's a feeling. You have to realize you're not your feeling. That's the whole idea of this teaching, to feel the feelings that you want to feel. Do you want to feel tired, or do you want to feel energetic? If you want to feel energetic, you have to start with, I feel energetic. I know that the energy of the universe, the cosmic energy of the universe, is coursing through every cell of my body. I am alive. I am sizzling with life. And you will start to do that because the subconscious mind says, oh, okay, boss, I'll give you that, and it starts doing it for you. But if you keep saying, oh, I'm tired, your subconscious mind, okay, I'll do that, because it's an obedient servant. It never questions anything. It never argues with you. That's when you have to use the conscious mind. You have to be able to see what you're saying all the time. You have to be able to hear yourself. You have to be able to become a witness to your own thinking. Once you become a witness to your own thinking, you can change your life. You can change your life. So you have to know that that is possible, that you're able to do that. So the whole idea is, change your mind and keep it changed. Change the beliefs that are running your life. If you want a different life, you have to change your thoughts about what you think life is. What you think life is. I was also at another place where a man, and I will call him an elderly man, he was probably younger than I, but he looked elderly to me, took a sip of water and immediately started to cough. And he says, oh, you know, that always happens to me. And the woman beside him said, oh, it probably went down the wrong throat. He said, oh, no, my mother always did that, too. That's imitation. That has nothing to do with genes or anything. The man's an idiot. At his age, he still thinks that every time he takes a drink of water, he has to cough, and it's because his mother did it, so therefore it runs in the family, it runs somewhere, and this is a normal reaction. It's not a normal reaction, it's a belief that needs to be changed. A belief that needs to be changed. You have to use your intelligence. You have to hear what you're saying. What? There's no gene that makes you cough when you drink water. Sunday, my friend Doug the Baptist called. I said, Doug, I haven't heard from you where he says, do not have food poisoning. I said, really? Why? He said, you know, I was at this Chinese buffet, and he said, the shrimp didn't look good. But he said, I put it on my plate, and it looked a little gray. He said, but I put tons of cocktail sauce on it, and I ate it anyway. But I got sick. I said, why did you do that? He said, because my mother always told me to eat what was on my plate. My mother always... Now, he's dumb. He's stupid. You have to use your thinking and your mind in this teaching. And you have to see that that mother, yes, she may have said that a way back when I was a child, you had to eat everything because of the poor people in China. But as I grew up, I realized, I don't have to eat all this. I don't have to eat this stuff. I don't have to do this. Simply because an authority figure, when you were a child and when you were impressionable, told you to do something, you don't have to do it today. If you're doing those things today, you are not using your mind correctly, you are not living your own life, and then you wonder why your life is the way it is. Give those things up. Give those things up. They mean absolutely nothing.
the same.
So during the month and during the year, ever since I've been teaching, I tell you new ideas that I learn myself in hopes that you'll start to think differently. A year or so ago, I gave you the idea that we no longer think of genes as the genetic code that's running your life. We know perfectly well now that we can change those. And if you have a predisposition, which everyone has a predisposition to something, because diabetes runs in your family does not mean that you have to get diabetes. Stop eating sugar. Stop drinking sodas. And it will not happen. What I want you to hear is this. Nutrition will always trump the genetic card. But we're not taught nutrition. So you go down the line. Well, I am trying to tell you, don't be sheep falling off the cliff all the time, because somebody a way back when said to you, genes control your whole life. There's nothing you can do about it. Your father had cancer, you're going to get cancer. Your mother had this, you're going to get that. How does it run? The first thing a doctor asked me is, did that run in your family? I said, I don't know and I don't care. Why is that so important? You're not looking at my family, you're looking at me. Now, can you help me, or can't you? Or I'll find a doctor that can. You see? The other thing I always ask a doctor is, have you studied quantum physics? And one doctor said to me, well, I think we had a small class in that when I was in medical school. I said, what you're telling me is that your whole education is based on Newtonian physics. And he said, Jeff, I said, you know, it's 300 years outdated, and you're still using it. They don't know that. Very few medical schools teach quantum physics, because if they start to teach quantum physics, they'd have to change all their books. They would have to change their books, and they do not want to spend the money to change their books, so they are teaching outdated things. This is what I want you to realize, that all the stuff that you hear and so forth, don't take that in and think that's the greatest thing, that that's really what it is. You know, I had a restaurant in North Carolina. Lovely people down there, but very simple-minded. If you said, I think I need a new battery for the car, everyone in me would say, die hard! I think I want gum. Big red! You know, they knew just from advertising. Never gave it a thought that there could be something else out there. There may be something different. You have to start using your mind, and you have to start using it correctly. And when you start to do that, things will change in your life. The world. Race mind wants to keep you where you are also. How else are they going to sell all those products to you? You see? So, start to think for yourself, okay? And we're always going to start with what premise? When you're thinking about yourself, what are you going to start to think? I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter bit. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! You know, my friend Albert Einstein, the favorite saying that I like about Albert was, imagination is more important than facts. Here's another one that Albert Einstein said. Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very convincing one. A very convincing one. What you want to know is,
nothing is being done to you. You are doing it all to yourself. And the world is being done by you. You are creating this world that you live in. And you're creating that with your mind. You're creating that with your beliefs, your viewpoint, your opinion, and your thoughts. And those items can be changed. And when you change those, you can change the reality that you're living in. That is why we always go back to that basic. That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Because unless you know how important you are, you don't strive for what you want, you don't ask for what you want. And you usually don't get what you want. And you say, see, that's right, because I don't deserve it. The mind will always prove to you what you are thinking. You see, that's why the world is not as crazy as people think it is. Because the world always does what you want it to do. If it didn't, then you would go crazy. You see. But if you say anything, the power of your word starts to create something for you. Starts to create something for you. Now that is not a mystery. That is a truth. And it is not a fact. Remember, facts change. Truth always remains the same. So we'll use that. This one I found in Vanity Fair magazine. If your joy is derived from what society thinks of you, you're always going to be disappointed. Madonna. Madonna, that's her. Now, many people have many things to think about Madonna. I never bought a record or anything. I know just little pieces of things about her. But an absolutely fantastic person, if you ask me. She is able to change herself anytime that she wants to. She has complete faith in herself. She knows that she's worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that she matters, and she doesn't care what society thinks or anyone else thinks about her. And she's contributing a great deal to this world. She's contributing a great deal to this world. So think of that. When I look at Madonna, I remember one of my favorite sayings. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Anytime you want something in life, be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. It has worked for me for the last 30 years. That's the whole idea of stomp your foot, get excited, and be bold about it. Ask for what you want. Go for that thing that you want. Go for that job that you want. And be bold about it. And this thing we call the universe, this thing we call God, will back you up in that. It works every time. It works every time. So, think of those things. See how you can use it. All right, let's go get our cards out. These are the 7 keys to success. This is not only success in business, this is a success in your own life. This was done by a survey. A lady did a survey of, I forget how many successful people, and then she percolated it down to these 7 things. So we're going to go over these. Develop and maintain a positive attitude. Now, if you're in this teaching, you have to have a positive attitude. And you have to be able to develop that and maintain it. William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Just assume a virtue if you have it not. Anytime you start to assume something, it starts to become yours. Remember the idea in the 70s with the human potential movement was act as if. So start acting positive, and you will start to become positive because you're sending a message to the subconscious mind. Being positive or being negative is a choice. And it's so much better for you as an individual to be positive. It's so healthy for you if you're positive. If you remain positive, you won't get colds. They just don't happen to you. You have to realize this whole idea of the body-mind connection, and that everything is connected together, but you're causing everything that's happening to you with your thinking. And if you're thinking negative thoughts, your body, every cell in your body, hears that, realizes that, and reacts to that. So be positive. Be positive. Learn to love yourself. Learn to love life. Learn to love what you're doing. If you don't like what you're doing now, learn to love it. And as soon as you learn to love it, it will leave you and something better will come. But if you hate your job, you're going to be stuck with it. Love is freeing. So, it's the idea, if you want to get out of your job, work yourself into your job. What does that mean? That means start to love it. Start to get into it. Somebody will notice that and say, you know, you need a better position. You know, I have a better job for you. And if you remain positive, people will want you all the time and they'll want you around. So that's an easy, simple thing for us all to be able to do, is to be positive. And don't tell me that you can't do it, or because now the economy's bad, or your mother just said something mean to you, or this happened, or that happened, and now I can't be positive. That's a choice. It has nothing to do with the outside of life. It's what's going on inside of you. So be positive. Now, number two, which I'd have put number one. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You have to realize that you are here on this plane of action at this very moment because you have a purpose. If you believe in this thing called a creator, this thing called God, this thing called the universe, and there's no such thing as chance or accident, then you must be here for a purpose. So, find out what that purpose is. And believe in yourself. So every morning, get up and say, I am here to accomplish something. And then ask what that is. Ask to be shown what that is. And believe in yourself and you will hear what you are here for. But don't think it's just here and you're just random and this whole thing called life is a mystery. Because life is not a mystery. People would like to make it a mystery. You are here for a particular reason. If nothing else, to realize that you can be happy all the time. You can be happy all the time. I know the world loves to tell you that can't be true, but it absolutely can be true. And happiness just comes up from within inside of you. It has nothing to do anything on the outside of life. Okay. Make wise choices. Well, what does that mean? Oh, well, I didn't know. What's a wise choice? Everyone, you can make a wise choice. Should I eat one potato or seven potatoes? Should I drink one beer or should I drink 30 beers? That's making wise decisions. And then tell yourself, I always make wise decisions. All the decisions I make are wise. You see. How many people here think they haven't made the right decision or haven't made a wise decision? Don't let your mind tell you that. Remember, the subconscious mind is listening, so you tell it. I always make wise decisions. And if you start telling yourself that you always make wise decisions, lo and behold, you'll start to make wise decisions. But if you run around saying, I never make the right decision, all that goo that people go through, stand up and be bold and say, I always make the right decisions. I always make the right choices. And you do. And I don't care what that is that you go through. You have to know that that was the right choice. People get divorced. Oh, what if I made the right choice? You made the right choice. For God's sake, he was a mess. Or she was a mess. You have to know you made the right choice. You know. Yeah, 20 years after divorce, oh, I wonder if I made the right choice. Oh, my God, of course you made the right choice. You have to know that. You have to know that you made the right choice. You see how easy it is? And then your mind, you don't keep doing those mind games with yourself all the time. You know, always, I always make the right choice. Develop positive habits. Well, everyone, we all, that's what life is all about, is a collection of habits. So make positive habits for yourself. I walk, I rest, I do this, I do that, I read a book, whatever. But start making it little habits that are good for you. But your mind cannot come up with one, I bet right now, good habit. But it could certainly, I bet, just told you all the bad habits you do. So you can't have your mind do that to you. Your mind has to say, oh, look, here's all the good habits. And then start concentrating on all your good habits. Set and achieve goals. They do not have to be lofty, and they do not have to be 10 different things and a whole list that people make out and all this stuff. You overwhelm yourself. Make a goal. This week I'm going to walk from this end of the room to that end of the room. And accomplish that. And then you go to the next one. And you do the next one. Years ago, at the age of 40, I ran a marathon. How did I was able to do that? Well, not by getting up and running a marathon. I thought, well, if I could run to that tree, that's a start. And the next day I ran to the next tree, and then to a telephone pole, and then to the next mailbox. And then I said, well, that's a block. Maybe I can run to the next half block. And I just kept doing that a little at a time. Till I accomplished that. Till I accomplished that. Don't set your sights always so high. You will get to that height. But you always blow yourself out of the water by getting too high instead of doing a baby step. And if you put one foot in front of the other, you'll get where you're going. But the idea is to start. And then to feel good about yourself. You say, I don't have that many goals. I don't know if I even accomplished some of my goals. I never put myself down for it. Some people think they can't have a life unless they have a goal going on all the time. Give yourself a break. You don't have to. But you have to like yourself all the time. You have to like yourself all the time. Now, number six, which I would have put up in the number one or two, use creative imagination. Use creative imagination. We're going to use a lot of creative imagination this month. Using the alpha state and or the subconscious mind. We're going to start using that imagination. We're going to start visualizing so that we use that muscle finally. So that we use that muscle. Now, when I told you, I always try to find out the answers and so forth. Sometimes I get these answers and I think I read them or somewhere I found them. But sometimes I'm not quite sure if I don't make some of this stuff up. But even if I do, I'm using the mind of God. But I am almost sure that years ago, the word faith in the Bible replaced the word imagination. Have imagination. You see, if you have imagination, you know what the imagination is.
and you know it's a creative faculty, and you know it's using your visualization, and you know that you can create with that. But when I say have faith, you all go, oh, but what faith is? Do I have enough faith? Do I have this, that, the other thing? So try to replace that and say, I have plenty of imagination. Everyone has imagination because you have a mind. Now, the next thing your mind wants to tell you, well, I can't imagine the way you imagine. Well, of course you can't. We're all individualized expressions of the one mind. Use your mind the way you want to use it and see what you can visualize. You know, so many people with meditation, they all say, well, I don't think I meditate correctly. You meditate the way you meditate. There is no rules here for meditation. There are lots of systems, but no rules. The way you meditate is the way you meditate. The way you use your imagination is the way you use your imagination. But you think you have to have an imagination like Albert Einstein. You can have an imagination like Albert Einstein if you wish. But don't compare yourself. Start using your imagination now. And know that it's a good imagination. It's a good imagination. I use an affirmation I've used for years. I have a good mind. I have a good mind. Why do I have a good mind? Because I know who made it. You see, I know the manufacturer. And that manufacturer doesn't make junk. So I have a good mind. If I have a good mind, I must have a good imagination. Easy, people. Easy. Okay. Be persistent. The key to anything is being persistent. The whole idea is to keep on trucking. If you knock long enough, the door has to open. The mere fact that you've knocked the hinges loose on it. But if you knock, if you are persistent with what you want, and as Winston Churchill said, never, 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 never give up. Just never give up. Know that this thing works. Know that you can do this. Know that you can do this. So let's do a little bit of imagination work, visualization work now. And what I would like you to do with this is have in your mind what we would call a burden, something that you want to get rid of. And we're going to call it a burden. I happen to like that word. So, if it's a burden of lack, if it's a burden of no self-confidence, whatever that burden is, get it into your mind now. And then just close your eyes and I'll take you on a little journey. So just start to relax. And I want you to picture or imagine that you're walking through a wonderful forest. And the trees are so beautiful. It's one of those absolutely wonderful days. Absolutely perfect. The temperature, everything about it. And you're walking along and you're thinking to yourself, oh, how wonderful it is to be alive. And you feel so good about yourself. And you just keep walking through this forest. You walk through this forest. You just get more comfortable and more relaxed. And you get so peaceful. And you start to come to a little clearing. And there in that clearing is this wonderful grass. You look so comfortable and you feel, oh, a little tired. And you decide to just sit down on the grass.
And then you just let yourself lie down. Oh, it just feels so soft and comfortable. And you just start to go deeper and deeper into total relaxation. And as you start to go into total relaxation, you start to remember that burden. That burden that you've been carrying. And you can see that burden now. Right there in front of you. Right there in front of you, you see that burden. And you decide to cast that burden out. And you cast that burden out into the mind of God. So just take a moment and cast it out there. And you cast it out into that vastness, into that mind of God. You see it explode, just like a supernova. Because it cannot exist in the mind of God. And it has gone back to the nothingness from whence it came. And as you lie there on that grass, here in that clearing in the forest, you feel light. Light of body. Because you no longer are carrying that burden. You have cast that burden into the mind of God. And you have set yourself free. You have set yourself free. So if it was a burden of lack, that lack is now gone. And you are able to enter the land of plenty. So any burden that you cast into the mind of God, that mind immediately dissolves it, explodes it, just like a supernova, making it return to that nothingness. And setting you free so that you can go about your life with a whole new feeling about yourself. So as you lie there, here in that clearing, you realize how easy life is. How wonderful life is. Once you move that small ego mind of yourself out of the way and you allow God to work for you, this is the way it is. And you are filled with gratitude. And that makes you feel good. And now you realize that you can come here to this clearing anytime you wish. And you can cast any burden into the mind of God and watch it explode into nothingness, because it was done by you and by your vain imagining, and it cannot exist in the mind of God. Take a moment now to be grateful.
When you're ready, come back. I don't know how many of you remember me always saying, I am the Fun and Entertainment Committee. God is the Ways and Means Committee. And we keep forgetting that. This thing called God is there to help you and to take any burden that you have so that you don't have to carry it. This is what you want to remember. And this is what you want to do with your subconscious mind. You want to go to that quiet place to calm down the conscious mind so that you can drop a visualization, a pattern into the subconscious mind so that it can go to work for you. That is what it is there for. It is there to be your servant. So start using that part of your mind. Start using that part of your mind. And use this teaching as a teaching to make your life successful. As I said before, this was never meant to be a religion. Ernest Holmes did not write Science of Mind thinking that it would become a religion. Other people did that for him. The same way Christianity didn't start to be a religion. Somebody else did that. Doesn't matter. What matters is that you have a wonderful connection with the Creator. That you and the Creator are one and the same thing. And that you can use that. And that you contact that through your subconscious mind, which is also known as your soul. So you have wonderful tools in this teaching to use. And we need to give up the old ideas that we were taught as children or taught throughout our life. Because there's a whole new and different way of thinking out there. The world is no longer flat, people. And we have a lot of people still thinking as though it were flat. And we can raise our consciousness and we can raise our intelligence to a point where we can achieve what we want. So the whole idea is to change your belief systems. And we all have belief systems, and we have many belief systems that we all have in common. Last week, I told you we were going to start. And every week I would give you a belief system to work on. Last week's were, experiments show that the focus of our attention changes reality itself and suggests that we live in an interactive universe. It says experiments. Scientifically, this is proven. And it's proven, of course, with quantum physics. We know perfectly well if we look at quantum physics, if you're looking at a quark, you can make it either a particle or a wave, depending on what you're thinking. Depending on what you're thinking. When I give you these little things, these are food for thought.
just think about it, contemplate it, meditate on it, and let it filter down so that it starts to change your thinking. So that when you hear somebody say, I cough when I drink water because my mother did, you realize how dumb that is. Instead of agreeing and saying, oh yes, that's true. And we hear a lot of things that are dumb, and we all stand there and say, oh yeah, that's true. That always happens that way.
Mm-hmm.
From now on, realize that it doesn't have to always happen that way. You cannot say that you live in a field of total possibilities and say that always happens that way. An impossibility to do that. The other impossible thing is, and that one that you want to work on all month, every day, every pass this through your mind. With God, all things are possible. You have to know that. That's the basis of changing yourself. You've heard it all your life, that all things are possible with God. Except this, and this. You see, you have to know that all things are possible with God. All things are possible. This week, we live our lives based on what we believe about our world, ourselves, our capabilities, and our limits. Get it? We live our lives based on what we believe about our world. So if we believe in this world that all illnesses could be healed instantaneously, we would start to do that. You see? We would start to do that. We live in belief systems, people. And we live in belief systems of our world and of our own selves. And what are our capabilities? We say, no, I can't do that. You cannot say that to yourself. You have to say, I am capable of doing anything. I'm completely equipped to do anything. But you're told, oh no, you're not capable of doing that. You have to know that you're capable of doing that. And you have to know that you are an unlimited being. This one I've had for years, and I wrote it on the other side. Every man takes the limits of his own vision for the limits of the world. What is your vision? And it will be the vision of the world. Make your vision bigger. Make yourself bigger. Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And get that in to every cell and fiber of your body so that you can have a successful life. So that you are not plagued with what I call the nits and fleas of life. We do not need the nits and fleas of life. Stop believing that. Know that all things are possible with God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.